This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and today we begin with a tribute to a legendary arts supporter. When asked how she would like to be remembered, Helen Copenhaver Haynes said, "If people want to know, just tell them I lived here, I loved it, and I believed in it, and it's been an important part of my life." Copy Haynes, as she was best known, was certainly an important part of our lives in the Triad Arts community. She passed away on December 28, 2013, at the age of 96. The Virginia native who called Winston-Salem home for 73 years had an enormous impact on the art scene here, beginning with the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. In 1964, after her husband, the late State Senator James Gordon Haynes, introduced legislation to establish the school, Copy and other volunteers organized a phone bank that raised $850,000. Her efforts secured Winston-Salem as the future home of the then School of the Arts. Copy also worked tirelessly to launch Old Salem Museum and Gardens, the Arts Council of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County, and her ongoing support of classical music and the Winston-Salem Symphony is legendary. In 1967, she hosted the great Arthur Rubinstein in a post-piano recital reception following his performance in White Chapel. And in 2007, for her 90th birthday, Copy brought pianist Van Cliburn to perform with the orchestra. Former UNCSA Chancellor Alex Ewing said in a recent statement, "Copy Haynes, no matter who she was with or what she was doing, was always herself, warm, friendly, interested." Those qualities certainly came across during our 2012 conversation here at WFDD, and I would add funny to that list as well. She was joined in the studio by acclaimed keyboardist, composer, and longtime Salem College professor of music, Margaret Sandresky. The two shared a decades-old friendship dating back to Copy's arrival to the Salem Academy and College campus in 1940 to teach voice and drama. They had plenty of stories to share with me as well.
We were lucky in this community because we were founded by the Moravians, who were all just delightfully musical people. And then the greatest accomplishment for the community was Dr. Vardell, and the fact that he was head of the music department at Salem. And that's where everything started, was because he was such a wonderful person and so talented, and he got a lot of things going. So it started at Salem College.
Among those, not to mention the fact that he started essentially the Winston-Salem Symphony. What has the organization meant to you over the years?
Well, it certainly has been a very vital part of my enjoyment of living in here. And it's grown and it's become more important to the community. And I think that it's making great progress. And we're so lucky to have Wake Forest and to have Winston-Salem State and also the School of the Arts, all that are here now. So of course there's a greater abundance of musicians to draw on, which has been the greatest boost to the symphony. And I think that anybody that has come and played with the symphony recently have said they are amazed that a community this size could have that good an orchestra.
You've been there since the inception, essentially. a highlight concert or a moment at the symphony that resonates with you even today?
Well, you know, it's like just a lot of people in the community. Everybody gets excited about the community. They're proud of it. And there were so many people that worked hard to make the symphony grow and have appreciated it. And it's just really wonderful to think about that first day that Dr. Vardell called everybody to the Art Center at Salem to get it started. And I remember all of that. There's just a whole lot of things probably after that I don't remember, but I will never forget the beginning.
Copy, I remember one time you were performing with the symphony. And you read the part of Peter and the Wolf, I think, where the symphony played that, and you're a very appealing and charming. So that certainly would rank on a concert you remember?
See, I'm very appreciative of a young mind that can remember those things.
Yeah, it's a great piece. Margaret, since I mean you're your father instrumental in creating the symphony, this is a huge part of this community. What does your family's role in that establishment mean to you?
Well, you know, my father grew up in a little town in the eastern part of the state, Red Springs, North Carolina, and he didn't hear a symphony orchestra until he was 12 years old. And he was immediately absolutely thrilled by it, you know, and thought that everybody should have this privilege. And he was always interested. And, of course, he wrote for symphony orchestra. And he was the kind of a person who could be thrilled by music. So I think when he had the chance to start an orchestra with the cooperation of Salem College and the Arts Council, he took it.
It's really unusual for an academician or musician to found an orchestra. In this country, it seems like traditionally it was a company like Standard Oil or in Pittsburgh, the Steel Baron established a symphony as something for employees to come and enjoy. I was just reminded of a concert at the Symphony that of Interest, which was a little birthday celebration concert for your 90th and Van Cliburn.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Could you tell the story? I mean, that was what a night.
Well, I knew that probably when I hit 90 that the children would do something or try to or feel like they had to. Any one of those things, I decided I would get the jump on them and plan what I would do. And I said the thing that I would rather do than anything in the world would go to a nice concert. And so the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, we ought to do something with the Winston Symphony, which is certainly the thing that I've loved the most. And so I began talking to Bob Moody, and I said, I want to hire somebody to come and play and let this be my birthday present, but at the same time establish a fund to try to make enough money off the concert that you would be able to start a fund for artists to come and play with the symphony. I thought it sounded like a grand idea, and it worked out that way. It just couldn't have been better. And the reason that we had him was that I had said I would like to have a pianist, and so he was celebrating his anniversary of the time that he was playing in Russia and won this wonderful prize. And that's the first time an American had ever won it. And then he had all the wonderful parade in New York and everything like that. Well, we could do that. And I'm sure he didn't want us to do that. But we did feel that it was a good time to celebrate it with him. He's 71, I think, now, or 72, something like that. Well, he was 21 then. But it was really a fun weekend. And he had a grand time in Winston-Salem, always says he wants to come back, and he certainly has been the greatest supporter of our work here in Winston and all the things that have gone on in the art world.
From people who met him, I've heard that he's just a very, very kind soul, very nice person.
He had a wonderful time here, and everybody had a good time with him. He's got a great sense of humor, loves people. It was just really a fun thing.
I'm glad you had a good time on your birthday. As well you should.
Well, I gave myself a very good present. You know, you can't get it any other way. Just give it yourself.
That sounds good.
Now I'm horrified. I'm ready for my 95th.
That's a tough
I've got to shut up right now. I might get another idea.
That's great. That was longtime arts supporter Kopi Haynes and keyboardist, composer, and Salem College professor of music Margaret Sandresky. They recorded that interview in May of 2012. Kopi Haynes passed away in December of 2013 at the age of 96, and her legacy lives on with the Winston-Salem Symphony. Music director Robert Moody will begin the symphony's spring season with concerts dedicated to Kopi on Saturday, February 8th, Sunday the 9th, and Tuesday the 11th at the Stevens Center of the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. The program features internationally acclaimed pianist Orly Shaham and one of Kopi's favorite works, Sergei Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2. She had asked Maestro Moody to organize a concert around the concerto, and to make the performance possible, Kopi helped fund the guest artist's appearance. Maestro Moody recently said of Kopi Haynes, "Her legacy is without peer. It is an honor and a privilege to play this concert in her memory, particularly because she was so instrumental in making it happen. I know we will all feel her presence at these concerts." A Music Lover's Luncheon, a fun and informative pre-concert lunch with Maestro Moody and guest artist Orly Shaham, will take place on Friday, February 7th at noon at the Piedmont Club in downtown Winston-Salem, and you'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. UNCSA is one of the strongest art schools in the country, and as mentioned during the last segment, it owes a great debt to Kopi Haynes. In 1964, she helped raise the funds that secured its location right here in the Triad, and we all benefit from the hundreds of concerts, exhibits, screenings, dances, and public lectures that take place on campus each year. Last year, one of those outstanding UNCSA performance groups was the award-winning Jazz String Quartet. They joined us live in Studio A. The Jazz String Quartet is UNCSA student violinists Dustin Wilkes Kim and Maura Sean Scanlon, violist Amber Wang, and cellist Sarah Huseman. Last year, the talented quartet competed in and made the quarterfinals of one of the world's most prestigious student music competitions, the Fischoff National Chamber Music Competition. In order to make it to their competition destination at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, the students needed a helping hand from the community. To help spread the word about the Jazz String Quartet fundraising concert, WFDD took a cue from the late great Kopi Haynes and invited the group to perform live in Studio A. Jazz String Quartet. What does Jazz mean?
Jazz means home in Mandarin.
Home. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Nice. And that was Amber, by the way. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Jazz String Quartet. Thanks. And congratulations. What's your position in the Fischoff National Chamber Competition?
Well, we sent in a tape to the recorded round of the Fischoff competition. That was the first round. And so we advanced to the quarterfinal round.
Okay.
And the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals will all take place on the same weekend in South Bend, Indiana.
Okay, and that was Maura Sean, one of the violinists in the group, and you all rotate chairs, but Maura Sean, no stranger to competition. How do you go about mentally channeling nervous energy into a good performance?
Well, I think it's just important to sort of remember that it's not like a high-pressure situation, really. You're just trying to do your best. In chamber music, it's a little different than solo competitions, I'd say, because you're sort of relying on more than just yourself. Like, you have to trust that everybody else will be there and be giving their best too.
Yeah, doing the best you can do. That seems to work for a lot of people. How about you, Sarah? Sarah Huseman here, cellist. What are you thinking about when you're in performance, in whatever scenario, to, you know, make it a good use of your nerves?
I usually just try and think about what the audience is thinking about. I, like, want to inspire, and so it's hard to convince yourself while you're playing because nerves can kind of just take you to another place and, you know, freak out and think million thoughts per second. But yeah, just trying to, like, channel it towards the audience and really show them, like, what we're made of and what we're trying to portray.
Well, it sounds like a winning philosophy. Amber and Dustin, I want to hear from you too. The whole rehearsal dynamic, it's intense, but I want you to explain maybe why it has to be that way and how do you work through differences of opinion, that sort of thing. In a string quartet, I'm in the seat here and it's time to rehearse. What goes on?
Well, I think tension's always there, but I think we're all really passionate about it, so there's bound to be some disagreements.
And when a disagreement comes up, Amber, what's a kind of a strategy for getting your idea out there in a way that doesn't, you know, shut everybody down? Or
we don't really do like a voting thing like some quartets we know do, but like we really talk it out a lot. We try not to spend too much time arguing, but we definitely have to like choose our battles, and we usually compromise on something.
The Debussy is coming up. We're going to get a chance to hear that first, the Debussy String Quartet. Sarah, as the cellist, what are you getting out of this piece in terms of your own learning and growth as a musician?
Well, it's definitely more technically challenging. All of the parts are very elaborate. It's really just very dense, like the whole quartet itself, which is really something that none of us are used to. So having to pan out all of our parts and see how they fit together has really been a challenge for us.
What's the challenge from the violin stand or viola stand?
I would say that for me, it's been challenging because although all the parts are so detailed and there's so many things to incorporate technically and musically in our individual parts, I think one of the things that I've struggled with the most is just being able to keep all of those things in my mind. But at the same time, we all have to sort of blend our sounds in order to create this sort of windy effect on top of which like rides a melody usually. And I think that's really been sort of something that we've all sort of learned how to do, because I've never really played Debussy much before. So
I was just going to say, I don't think I've really been exposed to French music that much. And I think this quartet really gets to the heart of that kind of flavor of music, I guess. That whole tonal blending stuff is a big thing I'm taking from this.
Well, we get a chance to hear, thankfully, some great tonal blending, and this is one of the famous string quartets. Let's hear a movement of this. What movement would you like to play?
We can play the first movement of Debussy String Quartet.
Great. The Gia String Quartet, UNCSA high school students performing live in Studio A.
Thank you.
you know, I hear a great performance like that, and this is a live recording. It was one take. You guys sounded great. It sounds really well prepared for this competition from my book. I want to hear more. And another great composer for the string quartet was one Ludwig van. I see that on the program. What's it like shifting from something like Debussy to something completely romantic and Beethovenesque? Is it tough to switch your mindset in a situation like that?
Yeah, it's a little different. I'd say this Beethoven quartet, though, is a little more on the wild side than some of Beethoven's earlier string quartets. So it's maybe not as difficult as it could be. I think we have to think a lot more about bow stroke, maybe, in the Beethoven, sort of keeping it more contained. Whereas in the Debussy, we're using a lot more bow to create these sort of cloudy, windy effects.
Well, time to get a little serious, although a little wild, too, with Beethoven. This is the Beethoven String Quartet, Opus 95, number 11, nicknamed Serioso, live in Studio A with the Gia String Quartet, quarterfinalists in the Fischhoff National Chamber Music Competition, and looking for more, live in Studio A.
Thank you.
the Jiao String Quartet, live in Studio A. We heard UNCSA student violinists Dustin Wilkes Kim, Maura Sean Scanlon, violist Amber Wang, and cellist Sarah Huseman. That will likely be the last time you hear the Jia String Quartet, as the graduating seniors have moved on. Amber is continuing her studies at the Cleveland Institute, and Maura Sean was recently flown in for a UNCSA donor event at the Biltmore from her now home at the New England Conservatory. Rising seniors Dustin and Sarah are in the midst of their search for continuing studies. Dustin recently performed at Carnegie Hall. But you knew them when, live in Studio A on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and we're going to take a short break right now. When we return, it's an up-close and personal look at Arts for Life, next when Triad Arts Weekend continues.